Oh, would you stand tonight and just join us and worship the Lord? Come on, would you lift up your voice and begin to magnify the name of Jesus tonight?
Breathe.
today. Would you lift your voice? Begin to cry out for him tonight. Come on, cry out to the Lord. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my hands, I bow my knees to worship at your throne. I need you, Lord.
The way you feel tonight, why don't you lift your hands? Come on, lift your voice. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Come on, reach out to him right now. He's in the house. Oh, we love you, Jesus. I worship you, Savior. Amen, amen. Before you're seated tonight, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. There are several families that are out sick tonight. Pray for the Johnsons. As you know, Elder Johnson is still recovering from his fall and all that has happened since then. Sister Johnson was sick today, so pray for her. Pray for Ash Phillip. This is Brother Garrett Phillip's nephew. He has had some problems with his internal with his intestines started leaking, so pray for him. Also pray for Heather Smallwood. She needs a touch from God. Rylan needs a touch from God. And also Kata's father needs a touch from God. If you know somebody in the house tonight that needs a touch, or somebody that's not here, spiritually, physically, mentally, I pray right now, lift up their name. Savior, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you right now, Jesus. You are the great physician. It's by your stripes that we're healed. God, there may be physical needs in the house. There may be spiritual needs. There may be emotional needs. God, I pray that you would reach your hand down from heaven. Touch every heart. Touch every mind. Touch every soul. God, we need you right now, Savior. We need you right now, Jesus. We can't make it without you, God. Not for one day. Oh, my Savior, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Asking our ushers if they prepare to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Amen. We are so excited about what God is doing at Bible Pentecostal Church. Amen. We got good news. I chewed out our design guy yesterday. Hadn't heard anything. Oh, yeah, by the way, Thursday, the 22nd, we got approval. Well, thank you for letting us know. We've been, so with the fire department's finally relinquished. So here's the crazy part. They want us to have 315. We were asking for 299 or whatever it is. They've divided the building in half, put a firewall. Now we can have 300 on either side. Now we can have 600. It makes no sense. I'm utterly confused, but that's just city government. Praise God. But they approved it, and we're going forward. We should have our permits by the end of this week, if not the first part of next week. And so we're thankful for that. Amen. Don't forget. Well, if someone wants to run the aisles, that'd be fine. Hallelujah. Hey, after a year almost, we're thanking God for a miracle tonight. Oh, let's stand and give the Lord praise in the house. Come on, he's good. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you to be seated again. Praise God. Well, we're just going to have church tonight. Don't forget your daily devotions, your personal time of Bible reading and prayer. Amen. Reaching souls. He that with his souls is wise. Be about the Father's business. Reach somebody. Tell somebody. Be excited about what it is. This is better than anything you could sell. Y'all remember that it works thing? This works. Praise God. You got to get excited about it and tell somebody about it. Do that. Amen. Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to the construction. I'm looking over at our new convert. Praise God. He's not a convert, but he's our convert. We'll talk more about that here in a minute, but we're thankful for what God is doing tonight. Let's stand and worship the Lord as the ushers come.
Oh, lift your voice and sing for joy. Bounce your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. Praise Him for the victory. Weapons we use are not bombs. Stop. Can't stop.
Come on, do you believe he's able tonight?
Come on, lift your praise to Jesus tonight. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the delivered say so. Let the victorious say so. Let the Holy Ghost feel safe. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you. Come on, give him glory, give him praise. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. He's worthy, he's worthy. Come on, someone, clap your hands and give God praise. I got the victory. I'm on the winning side. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The devil may come against me, but no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. We love you, Savior. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Make your way back to your seats. Please remain standing. Isn't it awesome what a little good news can do to a church service? Isn't it awesome what a little bit of excitement can do to a church service? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Anybody come running tonight? Praise God. Maybe not in your physical body, but in your spirit. Were you getting here as fast as you could? I know the answer is no to some folks. Praise God. Well, we're happy for everyone who's in the house of the Lord tonight. It was a year ago, young family came on a Wednesday night and visited our church. In fact, it was the night we announced that we were going to buy some property. I walked out the door, shook their hand, and went to the office and had a board meeting. Didn't get a chance really to introduce myself or get their story or whatever. They talked to Carson and Paulina, and they still wanted to move here. Just playing. Back in October, I got a phone call from a pastor. I called him, and we began to talk about this young family. I had to search my brain. Doesn't work that good that often. Kind of jogged my memory. Long story short, they felt that God was leading them. Their pastor had, and here's the vital part of this. They had their pastor's blessing. They would not be here tonight had they not had their pastor's blessing. And I'm thankful that after men's conference, text I got today from your grandfather, I've got his blessing too, and that was exciting. But we are so glad that the prophets are here. We now have the son of a prophet and a prophet in the house. I always say I'm not a prophet or the son of one, but I got one coming. And so we're thankful they're here. We're also thankful tonight. Now Sister Sierra is not here because she's home with Cash Myers Mason. Mason Myers, I got it all mixed up. So we're thankful for him tonight. Let's give the Myers and the prophets, amen, a round of applause. We are so thankful for it. We're going to spend the next few moments. Good to see you, Billy. This is our friend Billy. We love Billy. He's awesome. Happy birthday, by the way. Amen. We're gonna have a, you know, birthday cake. No, I'm just playing. Amen. I want to spend some time tonight right now in some fellowship like we do on Wednesday nights. Come across the aisle. Leave your seat if you don't mind. Now, the prophets, they don't have to leave their seat. You go visit them. You go talk to them. We're glad that their family is here tonight. Let's just make this a little bit more easy on them. Go introduce yourself, and there will be a test when it's over. together tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel excitement in this place. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Someone clap your hands all over this place. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We are back to our brother O'Connor, if you would. Y'all can be seated. I won't say dismissed. You may go to Dutch Bros. Praise God. Amen. Wasn't that good last Wednesday night with Elder Morton? I know we talked about it Sunday, but it's so good. We could talk about it again. Amen. What a powerful, powerful word that was. And remember, 85. I hope I have half that strength at 60. I'm giving myself some time to work out and catch up. Praise God. But we are thankful for that. But we're back to our lesson. Number one, I want to tell the prophets we did not break up into fellowship just to greet them. He said, I caught on to that. And number two, I'm not preaching about tithe just because it's your first service. We're going to start them off right. This is 18 weeks in the making, and this is not something that we just, scheduled. And if you're struggling tonight to pay your tithe and offering, this is not aimed at you either. This is just Bible. It's good teaching. It needs to happen. And we have been doing this new convert Bible study for 18 weeks now. Some folks have been in church over 40 years. But our teenagers need new convert classes. Our children need new convert classes. And so we're thankful for this. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. But this is session 6 of financial stewardship. We introduced tithing, I wouldn't say last week, about 2 weeks ago. We introduced the history of tithing. Tonight we're going to go in depth a little bit further. And then next Wednesday, whenever the Lord allows us to, or if he tarries, we'll go into the stewardship of giving. And that's not just financial giving. But there are three conversions in the salvation of every man: the conversion of his head, the conversion of his heart, and the conversion of his wallet. If you don't get it in your head, you won't get it in your heart. If you don't get it in your heart, you won't get it anywhere else either. Amen. So we've got to understand that this is a three-part conversion. The latter conversion is often the most difficult. When someone is new to the kingdom of God, it is very difficult for them to perceive the importance of managing God's resources in a way to bless his kingdom. This material will take time to cover, and be prepared for questions. Hey, if you got questions tonight, raise your hand. I'm not afraid to answer them. If you want to ask questions in private, say, hey, I want to text me. Have your people call my people. We'll set it up. No, I'm just playing. Text me. If you don't have my number, come to me after church. I'll give it to you. I have no problem answering. In fact, if you ever go to a church anywhere and the preacher doesn't have an answer or tell you that I will get one, run. Don't go to that church. Because if he doesn't have a Bible answer for the question you have, number one, find out and make sure the question's in the Bible. Don't be contentious, but just, you got to have, and there's no question that's a dumb question. Does that make sense? But if you, it's like Paul, was Paul that said it? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Don't get mad if someone tells you the truth. Now, I'm gonna deviate here from my lesson just for a second. Now, no offense to Braxton, but I have a dog named Colt. Colt is a rescue. Y'all know that I have a dog named Colt, everybody, most people do. Colt was a rescue. Took me 4 months for him to allow me to even touch him. He never growled, he never bit, never barked. He just was afraid. You get too close, he just wet himself. You say you shouldn't compare the church people to dogs. Well, the Bible, Jesus called one woman a dog. We're called sheep. We're called goats. So here's the deal. Colt now wants to be everywhere I am. If I sit down, he wants in my lap. If I'm doing something, he wants where I am. Until I correct him. Then it reverts back to his. So as good of a dog as he is, he's great with kids. I mean, you got to put up with Chase and Rhett and just wag your tail and lick their face. I mean, you got to be a pretty good dog. But certain people come around or certain tones of voices, it reverts him back. That's not love. That's not loyalty. Because if I need him to get out of the road and I raise my voice and that causes him to drop and pee on himself and freeze, he's going to get hit by a car. I need him to know I've never hurt him. I've never hit him. I've never been mean to him. So if I raise my voice, perk your ears up and figure out what's going on. The Bible says it this way, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the church. There could be something that's said in passing. There could be something that's preached. If you don't understand it, come ask a question. I'm open. I don't even have an office. Just come to me. There's no place for me to go hide. I showed somebody my office the other day. Who was it? Sister Vicky, was that you? I showed her my office. It is a 27-gallon tote with no top on it. The orange top, yellow top doesn't fit anymore. That's my office right now. So don't even have to worry about coming to my office. It's all good. Easy access. So if you have any questions about what's preached or taught, anytime tonight, next service, whenever, feel free to come and ask me. I have no problem taking the time to answer these questions. So here we are. Question number one, what portion of our increase is tithe? Well, according to Deuteronomy chapter 26, the first fruits. Brother O'Connor, could you read Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 4?
And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God.
Now, I went to a church one time. It was quiet as it could be. There was nobody praising. Anyway, some of you don't know that's a song. But I went to the church and they took up the offering and the pastor stood in the front of the pulpit. I've never done this. I don't want to do this. And as they brought their offering, he received it. He held it up and blessed it, then put it in the basket. I'm not doing that. I didn't have a problem with them doing it, but I'm not doing that. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to read it. I don't want to know anything about it. Now, I have to sign the contribution statements because legally I have to sign them. But I try to do that with my eyes closed. So when you get one and my name's kind of off the page, my eyes were closed. Or I didn't pull it all the way up because I don't want anything in this head or in this heart towards anyone. Oh, it's quiet. I want to preach without fear or favor. I don't want to say, oh, look at them. I'm going to treat them kind or, oh, look at them. I don't want that. And so I don't want to be that. But I'm not going to take it in my hand. You got to bring it before the Lord. And you got to give it. And some may want to do it other directions, other ways, but I think it's just right to bring it to the house of the Lord. And we'll get into that here in just a moment. Deuteronomy 26 and number 12 says the end of the tithing, all the tithes of that increase. He said that all the strangers, the Levites, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Verse 13 of Deuteronomy 26 said, thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levites, unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. If we understand, and tithing and offerings is a revelation. Yes, it's a commandment, but some people don't have a revelation of it. And they'll say, oh, I forgot to bring it. I used to say this, and I kind of stopped saying it because I didn't want people to be offended. But I used to say, if you forgot, it's because it doesn't matter to you. Because the things that matter, you don't forget. Like middle names and all those things, you know. I'm already starting. Praise God. We'll get to that later. We're just playing. I don't want to forget. I want a purpose. I want a plan. I want a budget. Well, it's quiet. I know teaching on the tithing is not, it's not easy to be taught. It's not easy to teach, especially when you're the pastor. So here we are. Tithing should be the first thing on the budget. God will bless you accordingly. Some would erroneously believe that they pay all their bills and then bring a tenth of what remains. That's not first fruits. Leftovers are not first fruits. When they went and saw the promised land for the very first time, it was the season of first ripe grapes. He brought them in to the promised land at harvest time and showed them all the promises, all the blessings. And that's why when they spent 40 days there and didn't think they could handle it, he said, for every day you were in there looking and watching the blessings that I had prepared for you, you'll wander in the wilderness for a year for every day. It was plump. This is the fruit thereof. That wasn't leftovers, church. It wasn't at the end of harvest. It was first fruits. And so the second question is, what should tithe be used for? The Bible example always had tithes used to financially support those who blessed or ministered to the one paying the tithe. Go ahead, Brother O'Connor, and read Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 11.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils.
Let's go ahead and let's stop there for the sake of time. 7 through 11, Hebrews 7, 5 through 11, just goes on to talk about he took a tithe of the people, the new priesthood took a tithe of the people. There was no priesthood when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Levi wasn't even born yet. So there was no, this is not the law. This was before. And we're going back. This is actually the book of Hebrews. And they're hearkening back to Genesis 14 when the Bible says that he gave him a tithe of all. A tithe of all. So tithing went to support the priesthood and the ministry. Go ahead and read Numbers 18, 20 through 24, if you would.
And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance.
The Levites received tithes from the Israelite people who they served. The Levites didn't have an inheritance. They didn't have a job. Their job was the tabernacle. Their job was the sacrifices. Their job was preparing and getting all of that, getting the wood ready, setting up all the things that they had to set up for it. And they received tithe of the people. Read 1 Timothy 5, 7 through 18.
Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy.
17 through 18, sorry.
Yes, sir. I got it. counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward.
So Paul told Timothy that the elders who labor in word and doctrine were worthy of double honor and are not to be muzzled. That means uncared for. That means that you don't just leave them out in the pen and not feed them. Okay? It also means he's worthy of his reward. That means his material things. Now, I understand that there are times when people get in a church and they don't have a whole lot. And they think, well, the pastor has a whole lot or the church has a whole lot, so why do they need my money? That's not what it's about. It's not whether I need or the church needs. It's about obedience.
Right.
Okay? And so here, tithe is used to support the pastor, provide a salary for evangelists, supplemental pastors, assistant pastors, and office staff. Those that oversee the use of tithe must be accountable to God for its use. Now, I paid tithe for 27 years to a local church, okay? I've been pastoring now since 2008, and guess what? I still pay tithe. This is how the breakdown is. When you have a small church, and the pastor has to be bivocational, meaning he's pastoring and working a job, then you still pay tithe, you still do all that, but the pastor has to work to be a member, to be a support, to do what it takes to make the thing work. And all the bills end up on him at times when they're starting a church from scratch. They're paying all the bills. They don't take a tithe because they're paying all the bills. And any money that comes in, everything. I don't care if it's for Sunday school crowns. It's paying the light bill. I don't care if someone gave it and said, I want to do a bike-a-thon and I want to have a bounce house, so I'm giving $200. No, it pays the mortgage. It pays the rent. Then when the man grows a church, builds a church, and the church gets larger, and he doesn't have to work full-time, or maybe he goes part-time, it starts balancing out. When the pastor goes full-time, then the church is still supporting him. He's still doing his part, but he still pays tithe, just not to himself. I do not pay tithe to myself. So that's clear, you know. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Those people that would go up to a police officer and say, I pay your salary. I hate that attitude. I hate that attitude. First responders, police officers, whatever, I pay your salary. They pay taxes too. And you're trying to get out of paying taxes. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, you do everything you can to sharpen your pencil and claim, you know, dependents. I got four dependents outside of my house. I can't claim on my taxes. And they eat more than anybody. They eat like horses. So I don't want to have that attitude as a church member. Well, come on, preacher, I pay your salary. No, you give your tithe to God, which is a commandment. And he also gives his tithe to God, which is a commandment. You know, the priest got to eat the sacrifice that was on the altar. You know what that sacrifice, the only sacrifice they got to eat was the sin offering. And they had to eat it in the holy place. They ingested the sacrifice that was there for sin. And they had to do it in God's presence. That's how they survived. That's how they were sustained. There were other parts of that offering. There were other things that were better. But they did that. Why? Because they have a more great responsibility. They have a greater burden. I know this is going to sound really harsh. And it's so much easier to be a saint in the church. I know. I've done both. In fact, I've still been a saint longer than I have been a pastor. I've been a pastor now for 16 or 17 years. I was a saint in a local church for 27. I got 10 years to go to catch up. And there are days I would much rather be a saint. Oh, the days, if I called my pastor and complained, he'd say, this is what you asked for. You asked for this. You said, Lord, here am I, send me. And the Lord said, there you go. So it's not that we just, you know, what's the saying? You eat ice cream and fried chicken all the time. I know it looks that way, but that's not how. Anyway, y'all can laugh. I know. Come on, it's rough. We're preaching about tithe and offering. Praise God. So here's the question: where do I pay? Let me just say this. Now I went 4 years. February was 4 years that I went full time, and thank God for that. If I'd have known how good it was going to be and how the church would be blessed when I went full time, I would have went full time sooner. But y'all, some of you don't remember. Some of you weren't here. How many was here when we took the church? Raise your hand. Well, obviously my boys were, because they came with me. I mean, we were here. One, two. Anybody else over here? Nope. Two, three, four. You were just born. We dedicated you. Five, there's six or seven, eight, maybe 10. I know there's only 13 of the original church still here. Y'all don't remember when we had to back our RV, our fifth wheel, into the back of the church and live there for a year and not get paid? I went framing houses, Caleb, for $12 an hour at 42 years old just to make the church mortgage. I just needed a job, and that's what they were. That's what happened. I was 42 years old. I had to get a new belt. My framing bag wouldn't fit. I pulled up. Now, the guy that hired me, he says, you're 42 years old and you drive a King Ranch pickup. What's the story? I said, well, I was an evangelist, and I made the bonehead decision to take a church. And they sold me a bill of goods, man. They sold me, oh, there's 80 people. Pastor goes on vacation all the time, has a nice car. I found out why. He took all the money. Nothing was being paid. Everything was caving in. And as soon as I took it and he left and his family left, it was just a faithful few. And here we are today. Sold that property for $1 million. I don't complain. I'm not whining. I'm just saying I know what it was like in the beginning. And it is a miracle that 9 years later we're where we are. Because this works. This works. I got a revelation of this. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to tell you how bad it is. Some folks can look. In fact, if you came to our house the other night for the birthday party and you walked in our house and you said, oh, wow, look at this. This is nice. How much did this cost? Remember, we refinanced our house and gave $35,000 to the church mortgage. My brother-in-law heard about it and said, remodel your house, I'll pay for it. That's why it looks the way it does. Because you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. If you put him first, he'll open the doors. And I didn't have to beg, I didn't ask. I didn't even expect it. We gave it in August and said, we'll figure it out. We'll do whatever it takes. And in December, he called and said, hey, I heard what you did. How'd you hear? I didn't tell him. But he heard. And he said, I want you to do it. Can I tell you something? He spent twice as much as we gave to do that. He said, I want it done. I want it done right. And I don't want you to do it. And that wasn't because he didn't think I could do it. He didn't want me to have to do it. But guess what, Vinny? I had Vinny do it. Praise God. But I thank God for it. It works. And so I'm not complaining. I'm not sad. I'm not upset. Because I know that paying tithe, paying offerings works, putting God first works. But if you sit here today and you say, oh, look where Pastor is, just think back. For those of you that were here and those of you that weren't, maybe you should ask some questions. If there are any questions in your head, how was it before? How did we get where we are? Because there's always going to be a story. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come cheap. Anything worth doing is worth it's going to be hard, and it's going to cost. And so we're thankful for it. But I went full-time 4 years ago this last February, and what a blessing that was. But here's the deal. If life turns the way it could turn, and things go the way it could go, as way leads to way, as my pastor would say, we don't know. I may have to go back to work, and I'm not against that. I'm not afraid of that. Do I want to go back and not have all the time for the church? Absolutely not. I want to be able to pray. I want to be able to study. I want to be able to be there for people. But I worked the first 5.5 years I was here, 40 and 50 and 60 hours. One, y'all remember that Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday where I had to work 2 shifts? You remember that? We had an evangelist here. I never even saw him except for church. I got up at 6 in the morning and worked from 6 to 3. Went home and changed and went back to work and worked all night till 6 in the morning and had to go finish that job before I took a nap that afternoon. Between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. I've done it before. I could do it again if I had to. But God's going to bless us and God's going to keep his hand on us. It's not going to happen because we're going to get a revelation of this. And most already do. We're just teaching a Bible study. If you don't have a revelation yet, ask God to give you one. Amen. First off, we're gonna have to hurry through. It's almost 8:30. The second question is, where should I pay my tithe? According to Deuteronomy chapter 12, God has designated a place where he put his name, and that's where we bring our tithe. Some would say, well, my tithe is between me and God. You're absolutely right. It is. It's between you and God. And let me just say this. You will not be saved by paying your tithe. Paying your tithe does not save you. But here's the controversial part. Not paying them will cause you to be lost. It's disobedience. It's disobedience. It's not a matter of dollars. It's not a matter of amounts. Tithe means 10%. A tenth. That's all it means. And so we're trusting and understanding that all that I have is God's. The ability to work, the ability to have a job, the ability to think, the ability to sustain, to endure, is a gift from God. It's all God's. And so I'm just giving him back a tenth. That's my tithe. He said, all the tithe is mine. So, where do I bring it? I bring it to God's house. Malachi 3 and 10 says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Let's break this scripture down here real quick. Bring all your tithe to the storehouse. Storage. That's not just bring it here so we can just barely pay the bills and barely make by and barely make do. There needs to be a storehouse. There needs to be plenty. So there may be meat in my house, is what he said. Why? Because if there's a need, the church has got to be able to fill that need. If there's a missionary, the church has got to be able to fulfill that need. If you don't know it, we sponsor, I think, what is it, Sister Megan, 12, 13, maybe more, maybe 15 missionaries. I know our missions bill every month is $970 that we give to foreign missions. Because you can't outgive God. And if you have a mission here and have a need here, you got to help other people. And that's not our only giving. Any fundraiser that we do, 10% goes to missions. If the youth do a fundraiser, they give to missions. If we do a fundraiser, we do our fireworks. Then. Anybody fired up about fireworks? Ooh, I got to introduce Caleb today to the fireworks season. He's excited about it. He's like, yeah, I know they have another Caleb, but I was talking about you. He's got a trailer that we could use. Oh, anyway. Why do we do that? Because it supports the work of God. It supports missionaries. It makes men's conference possible. So we do it. So we give to missions. So here we are. We need to bring it to the storehouse. In fact, there's one scripture. It talks about the treasure house. I'm going to tell you my vision. We may not get to this lesson tonight. I'm going to tell you my vision. Our pastor that was just here, at 32 years old, he took a church in Fresno. 32 years old. The They had a what we call the prayer room now. Seats about 400. I would love to have that building. In fact, that's what basically what we're building. Now we could have 600 in there. I don't know. But they had the old church where we had the cafeteria was the church that they had when Brother Verbal Bean was preaching there. Then they built the other church, which was now the prayer room, the chapel. When I got there in 81, they had just built the main sanctuary that seats 1,100. The building wasn't paid for. There wasn't branch works. But today, 2025, there are 8 branch works within that city. 8 buildings. There's the main property. I know the last I saw, there was 11 vans and 14 buses. The church also owns 6 homes, most of them surrounding the church property. Guess what? All paid for. All paid for. No debt on anything. Church staff, church buses, all of that paid out of tithe. Obviously, he can't live off of all the tithes. So you hire an assistant pastor. You hire a church secretary. You hire another assistant. You do all that. He paid for all the bus maintenance, all of that out of tithe, because obviously tithe is the bigger portion. There are people who don't give anything to offerings, but the bills still got to be paid. So there's a time when you start getting to that place that all this is paid for. Now, here's what I want to tell you about all that. They would have money in the bank. Money. We go over our and we do a business meeting every year. We go over all of our finances. We're very open about all of that. They would have money, and they would see a branch work. They would see another church across town. Say, oh, man, that's a nice building. We want to buy that building. How much do you want for that building? And they say $300,000. Okay. So the church would write a check for it, pay cash for it, and then pay themselves back. Good business mind. Pay themselves back so that when the next building came open, they could pay cash for it. Put a pastor in there, put a few people in there, give them a bus. All the pastor had to do was support himself and build a church to support him. The church is already taken care of. The building and the property, all take insurance, all taken care of. I have that vision in my mind. I want to build a building. I want to build a church. But if there is a town within 30 or 40 minutes of here that needs a church and needs a pastor, we want to be able to support that, finance that. Well, Chase don't agree with it, but that's fine. He don't agree with much I say. Takes after his dad anyway. But that's the goal. But we got to do it on this one first. So we're trying to do this building as frugal as possible. Mason, you got to watch those electricians. They will have motion lights and all the lights will bounce to the music. We had to tell Mason when he was doing our house, Russ is no longer paying for this. We're doing the Home Depot version of this. Anyway, so we're trying our best, church, to make sure that all, hey, we went 9 years ago from the church being about to be repoed. Literally, they were going to call the loan on the church to where now everything that we have is paid for. Our church van's paid for. Our church trailer's paid for. Our shuttle bus is paid for. All the stuff we have in storage, the only thing we're paying for is storage. All the stuff is paid for. The property that we have, 2.5 acres, paid for. And I pray to God that that building can be built cheap and we can pay that off fast and build another one. Amen. That's the goal. It's not for the Braves to get a bigger house or nicer cars. Now, if we do, we didn't take it from you. Amen. Anyway, here it is. We got to hurry. We got to hasten along. A minister, he ministers about holy things. In 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 14, we're not going to take the time to read all of it, but he said, are ye not my work in the Lord? Sorry, Brother O'Connor, just stay close. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for ye are the seal of mine apostleship, are ye in the Lord? He said, look, I may not be an apostle to anybody else, but I am to you. You're my work. This is my job. This is my calling. This is my labor. Okay? He said, have we not power to eat and drink? If this is my job, can I not buy groceries? Can I not have a house to live in? Can I not have a car to drive? What man goeth to war of his own charge? You know why we're in war all the time? Because war makes money. War is profitable. And so those people who go to war, they're not going to war because they're paying. Is that a pay to play? Someone's paying for that. And so these soldiers, they go and put their life on the line. Someone else is paying the way and making the money. And those poor soldiers come home with no place to live, have all these health and mental issues. Someone else is paying for that and making money. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Y'all that raise eggs, you ever eat eggs? Sister Carnegie, I'm sorry, Sister Jess, she's like, no eggs for you. Oh, Carnegie Homestead, I saw someone the other day said, look, I fed my family for free this morning. All these eggs, I fed my family for free. Of course, it cost me $3,000 for the coop and the feed. But I ate these eggs for free. Sure you did. He that ploweth, should he plow in hope? I hope that if we grow, we're going to get some benefit of this. I hope if we sow spiritual things, that we can reap some material things. That's right. Oh, man, this is so exciting. Is everybody else excited as I am? These kids are just, they're so excited about this. Come on, Pop, preach it. That's what they're saying. You don't know it, but that's really what they're saying. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? You pay taxes. Anybody here pay taxes? Let me see the hands of those of you that pay taxes. If you're not paying taxes, I'm going to turn your name in. I'm just playing. Hey, guess what? You pay a road tax for smooth roads in Idaho. Go down Cherry Lane. Go down Eustick. Go down the freeway. You pay taxes on that. Are you getting what you're paying for? Do you really feel the government is doing its job? Now you're paying tithe and you're giving offerings and we're building a church and I'm trying to preach my best. Don't you think that you're getting a little bit better, more bang for your buck? Well, someone ought to shout. I'll run the aisles on that one. At least I'm showing you we're making progress. We're going somewhere. And if you call in the middle of the night, I'll answer the phone. If you need me to come to the hospital on my birthday when I'm eating a steak at Texas Roadhouse, I'll leave it on the table and I'll go to the hospital. I've done it. Hey, you guys wait here. Hey, you guys sit in the car. I got to go over here. Now my kids, that's why they got married and had their own family, so they don't have to go wait in waiting rooms anymore. But they've done it. And if I need help, they'll do it. He said, look, if everybody else has got power over you, wouldn't we rather? Wouldn't you rather be something you're getting out of it? Well, question number five. Well, question four is, how much is my increase is tithe? All of our increase is tithe. If you sell a car and you turn that money right back into another car, that's not increase to you. If you're a business owner, oh, we're going to get down to the business of business owners. If you're a business owner and part of your pay is your vehicle and your phone and all of that, the things that are benefits to you, that's an increase. Don't be like, when I got into ministry, there was a lot of things I didn't know. My pastor said it this way. There was a lot that didn't tell me when I hired on with this outfit. That makes sense? I didn't know that you could be in poverty and live in a big house. I didn't know you could drive a fancy car yet not own a car. That's how business, some business owners do it. Everything that they have is either in a trust or the business name. There's some preachers that do that. The church owns everything. Can I just tell you this? The church doesn't own anything that I have, nor is any of my debt the church's. That ought to give you a reprieve. You don't own anything that I have, and none of my debt is yours. I take the salary, and I pay taxes on that salary. And the church board knows what my salary is. And if I can take it, I take it. And if it's not there to take, guess what? I don't get to take it. Because the church has got to be taken care of first. When we get into offerings next week, if the Lord tarries, Sister Tawny, the light bills, the mortgage, all the things that the church has to pay comes first. If there is a falling short, guess where it comes from? Tithe. If our mortgage can't be paid, if people decide, hey, I'm going on vacation this year or this month or whatever, and they don't pay their offerings and the mortgage has to be paid, it comes from the tithe. If there's not enough tithe to pay all the things that need to be paid and the pastor get a salary, then the pastor doesn't get a salary that week. I'm not complaining. That's my job. I took on that responsibility. If something happens to me, oh, I want to be on the church board. How many want to be on the church board? Brother Lloyd, Brother Caleb, you didn't raise your hands. You're on the church board. This is a bad thing, church. I want to be on the church board. Well, guess what? If something happens to me and the bills got to get paid, legally it falls to them to pay the bills. Did you know that? No, I'm just playing. You're like, I want to resign tonight. Trust me, there is no rear to this here battle. It's all in or whatever. So that's just the way it is. That's how it works. And so when we look at all of these things and we say, hey, he's preaching, he's there, he's faithful, but there's also, I have to give an account for what I'm responsible for. Not only to the IRS, not only, now you say all these pastors that the church owns things, sometimes it's because the pastor or the church can't own. The pastor can't own things. Brother Myers, Elder Myers, when you got licensed to the organization, they checked your credit. And they made sure you weren't bankrupt back in the day. You know, if you go get a job as a armored truck driver or you go work at a bank, they check your credit score. If you're a cop, they check your credit score. If you're involved with money, they want to know you're not going to steal or skim money. I have no intentions of taking anything that doesn't belong to me. I told Caleb today as we were unloading a little bit of stuff, they had some deer mounts. And I said, I got a buddy of mine that buys them on eBay. He got them hanging in his office. And I said, man, that ain't hunting. He goes, I had a hunt for it, man. My finger got tired. I said, Brent, the story, it represents something. It stands for something. Nobody else may know that you bought them on eBay, but you have to know. I don't want to represent something to the church and not be it. I know the letter of the law, but I know the spirit of the law. And I want to make sure I'm right with the spirit of the law, not just the letter. Well, that's just me. And I know there's other people here that believe that too. And so we're trying to make sure that we do it right. When the story's told, I don't want there to be an asterisk. I don't want there to be a caveat. I don't want there to be a footnote. When I walk in my house at night and put my head on my pillow, I want to know I've done everything right before the Lord and before this church. If I don't have that, if I don't have my integrity, what do I have? I don't want my calling to take me somewhere my character can't keep me. Well, amen. We'll hasten through. The product of a man's efforts and labor should go to support him. A pastor serves spiritual things in response, and you respond with temporal. You wouldn't work for a man and him pay somebody else. Unless you're Carson and Caleb. Go learn what that meaneth. Praise God. All right. Everybody, all minds clear? We going someplace? Man, the prophets are like, this was not the first Wednesday night we were expecting. I thought about changing this and not preaching this tonight because I knew they were going to be here. But I thought, no, this is what we do. This is what we're doing. Next, on Sunday, we'll shout, we'll dance. We already did that tonight. And now we're talking about tithe and offering. When we get through these next, you know, five or six sessions, we'll figure out to do the next Wednesday night. So, anyway, here's the next one. Should ministers pay tithe? I've already answered that. Yes. All ministers should pay tithe. We pay tithe on every, in fact, I'm going to give you a little insight. I'm trying to hurry. I won't finish tonight, but before 9 o'clock, I'll stop. My wife and I pay tithe. We take 10% off the top. Whether we take it as salary or not, we take 10% off the top. We made up our mind a long time ago. That's what we're doing. In Canada, we couldn't work. The only thing we could do was the church. Here, I had to work. But we still took 10% off the top. Whether the rest of that goes to current expense or not, we still take 10% off the top and give it a tithe. Whether we take it as salary or not, we made up in our mind to do that. Okay? We pay tithe. Reason why we don't always take up offerings for evangelists when they're coming is because that's one way we pay tithe, is to support the evangelists when they come. When that runs out, and it does, we have to be able to pay it someplace else. And so we try to take up an offering. It takes a lot of money to have revival. At minimum, it's $1,200 to $1,500 a week to have an evangelist here. Just their salary. Not counting feeding them. That's a lot of money, Pastor. That's what they do for a living. And they got to drive their entire family around the country in a fifth wheel in a truck. And it looks really glamorous. Until you have to empty a black tank on a Monday morning after having cyanide shot down. And if you don't know what a black tank is, you need to go learn what that means. And if you look at an evangelist and say, man, that's a fancy fifth wheel, I want you to go out there and mark a 40 by 8 section and live in that with three kids every day. And you'll find out how small. We evangelized in a 27-foot bumper pull with one slide. Teenage boys. We didn't get a fifth wheel till right before we moved here. So the Lord has a sense of humor, but nothing else. Praise God. All right, here we go. I'm almost done. To counterbalance the high honor conferred on Aaron and his family, and to allay the fear and abate the envy of people, it is declared that the priest must bear the blame of everything which was not properly conducted in the sanctuary. All the responsibility of everything that happens here falls on my shoulders. It is a high honor to be the pastor of this church. It is. It's a high honor to have people love and support us and help care for us and help build a church with us. But when all said and done, you could all leave tomorrow. And I have to make sure that everything gets taken care of somehow, some way. That's the counterbalance. That's the other side of the coin. So we got to make sure that we do that and we take care of it and we give account for it. All right. What happens if I don't tithe? Question number 6. We've got one more question after this. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. All right. I can't wait till we get to the other parts of this. I liked it better when we were teaching about the doctrine and the oneness of God. Wasn't it so much more exciting? All right. What happens if I don't tithe? Malachi 3 and 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and offerings. Verse number 9 says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Haggai chapter 1 says it this way, the Lord speaking, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses. See, they were vagabonds. They were tent dwellers. But now they were coming out of bondage, and they were building homes, and they were having homes with roofs on them and walls. Because after all, the prophecy was, we got 70 years before we have to build a temple. And it's not 70 years yet. Even though we're not in captivity, we still have more years. Prophecy's not up yet. So they started building houses. And God saw it. And God said, oh, it's time for you to dwell in your houses, but my house lies in ruins. Consider your ways. Well, that got quiet. He said, have ye sown much and bring in little? Ye eat, but have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but you're not warm. That must have been a woman. I'm not thirsty. I'm just building up steam. Anyway, ye earn wages. And you put in bags with holes in it. Has anybody ever thought, man, where'd the money go? Did you ever think that God put holes in your bags? Did you ever think that our poor decisions? I remember when Carson started working after high school, living at home, working a job. I don't even know how much he was making, 10, 12 bucks an hour, 11 bucks, 14, I don't know, 12. He's making as much as I was. And he didn't want to go somewhere. And he said, hey, Dad, you got any money? Like, what do you mean do I got any money? He's like, I'm broke. What do you mean you're broke? Well, I went to Panda every day after work today. You remember that? Still doing it. I wasn't going to tell that, no. I was going to say when he was young. Now, I know that's not true. But I know this. He looks at things now, and it's a little different. He bought gravel for his new home. Man, that gravel's crazy. Picking up them rocks and putting them in. Crawling around in the alley, it's a little different. When you start realizing, hey, I made some poor decisions, and if I'm going to live, I got to start making some good decisions. Hey, faithfulness in your giving does not write off stewardship in a budget. He said, look, I get it, but consider your ways. I put holes. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build a house. I'll take pleasure in it. I'll be glorified. You look for much and lo, it came to little. How does that happen? I worked all week and look, I got nothing left over. And you brought it home and the Lord said, I blew on it. Why, saith the Lord, because of my house that is in waste, and ye run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine. That means no Holy Ghost. That means no anointing. That means you start getting bitter at everything that's happening because God dried up not only the jobs, but the income. Then you got mad and so you lost the Holy Ghost. There's no anointing. Upon that which the ground bringeth forth, upon men, upon cattle, and upon all the labor of thy hands. You don't have the Midas touch. It's not turning to gold. It's turning broke. So you know what the answer is? You pack up and move and you do it again somewhere else. No, that's not the answer. The answer is you get a revelation. If I'd have put God first, amen. If I'd have put God first, right. I wouldn't be where I am. And if I was broke, I would know that God had a plan. Because I was being faithful. Think about Job. Man, he went from being the richest man in the area to the poorest man in the area. But he knew God had a plan. Naked came I in this world, naked shall I leave. I came in broke, I'm going out broke. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Before he got double, he had a revelation. It's all God's anyway. I'm closing with this. Let's stand tonight. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. And just know this. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. Obedience is better. Thank you, Brother O'Connor. I apologize. I was trying to go fast. And you could keep those notes. You can read them to your children at home. Praise God. Preach to your wife. No, I'm just playing. We love Sister O'Connor. For they consider not that they do evil. There are people who just don't know that what they're doing is wrong. So you gotta be able, you gotta come to church and be able to hear and say, you know what? I don't know this stuff. I never heard this. Now, I said this before, I'm gonna say it again. You don't have to do anything that I preach. It's a free country. I bet you don't hear preachers say that all the time. We don't do anything that I preach. You can come, you can worship with us, you can do whatever you want. It's a free country. We want you to come, and maybe one day the light will shine, the revelation will come, and you'll see it, and you'll say, it makes sense now. I'd rather you do that. I'd rather you just come and hear and hope one day it clicks than for you to just get upset and leave and go someplace else where you're never going to hear truth. This is not for me. I'm living a good life. We're building a church. I'm fine. But I want everybody in this church to be living a good life and be blessed. I want everybody to get a revelation that if God takes care of my finances, that I'll be better off. If you vowed a vow, defer not to pay it. I know people, we took our pledges one time in our church in Canada. Nobody had to give anything. Nobody had to say any numbers. Ananias and Sapphira. They saw Barnabas. Barnabas sold all he had and that was his inheritance. That's all he had. That was his future. He gave it. They all responded well. Ananias and Sapphira said, we're going to do the same thing. The problem is they didn't realize how much value their land was. They got it and they were, wow, it's more than we thought. So they brought it, saying, here's everything. What did Peter say? You didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost. You made a vow to the Holy Ghost. You made a vow to Jesus that this was all you had. Hey, I don't know what you make an hour. I don't know what you make a year. I don't know what your gross salary is. I don't care to know. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. It's between you and God. You ain't lying to me anyhow. If you come and say, hey, there it is. My pastor used to say, we pass our contribution statements. And he used to say, hey, that's so you can make sure you are caught up. Maybe there was a day, maybe you worked, maybe you missed church that night. Maybe you weren't. But you want to make sure you're right with God, you're caught up. Nothing wrong with that. I don't want to come and lie to the Holy Ghost and say, here it is. When I know that I do more than that, make more than that, have more than that. If you vow a vow, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that thou hast vowed, for it be better that you vowed not than thou shouldest vow and not pay. God will be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands. Can I put my tithe in as offering and it be considered tithe? No. There is a difference between tithe and offering. A man robbed God in tithe and offering. In fact, I'll give you a little bit of a thing I found out today. The word tithe or tithes is in the Bible 34 times. Offerings is in the Bible over 700 times. It's not about supporting the priesthood. It's not just about doing all that. It's about the entire work. And those heave offerings and those love offerings. Think about the word heave offering. What does that bring to your mind? Do I got any change in my pocket? Do I got any ashtray change? Anybody ever got ashtray change? Since we don't smoke, we got change in the ashtray. Don't even have ashtrays in cars anymore. That's how poor we've been. I remember when you could go to Taco Bell and buy a bean burrito for 69 cents, and you could get it out of the ashtray. Now it's almost $2. Definitely not on the dollar menu. Offerings, heave offerings. So here we are. Let every one of you lay up by him in store, as God hath prospered him. That there be no gathering. Collect the saints, give it as God has prospered. For there must be first a willing mind. It must be accepted according to a man hath not, according to that he hath not. God, here's the thing with tithe and offering. It's not a matter of how much you have or don't have. It's a percentage. It's not a dollar amount. It's a percentage amount. It's fair. Because no matter how much or how little you make, it's a percentage. And we'll close it out with this. But this I say, which he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according to he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. There's a challenge at the end of this lesson. I debate on whether to read this or not, but I think it's fitting. It feels right. There's envelopes back there that we have for giving. If you don't know what those all mean, you can see myself, Sister Bray or Sister Megan, or probably almost anybody that can tell you. If you have questions on that, saint of God, come ask us. Let me encourage you to be faithful in tithing and see if God does not respond in a positive manner. I challenge you to be faithful with your tithe for the next 12 months and watch God bless, and you will make it a lifetime habit. I would love to see what would happen in this church. And we have a giving church. But there are some people who don't have a revelation, and that's fine. We'll pray that God give you one. Just be open to it. So what am I paying for? What's the big deal? Number one, there's a building. Number two, there's lights. There's bills. Your household has bills. The church, imagine the church having that much more bills. So be faithful in that. We'll talk about next week about the rest of giving. But I want the hand of God to be upon every family. I want God's blessing to be upon every family. I don't want any family to be cursed. I don't want any family to be broke. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Can we just ask God, God, if I don't have a revelation, can you give it to me? God, if I do, can you renew it? Can you refresh it? Come on, let a spirit of giving, let a spirit of faithfulness, let a spirit of obedience be upon the house tonight. Come on, lift your voice, lift your hands, lift your heart. Oh, we worship you, Savior. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus. Oh, we love you today. We praise you today. Oh, Jesus. I want to be a willing vessel. Lift your hands one more time. He is so good. He is so great. He is so mighty. Oh, let the goodness of God, let the peace of God rule your hearts. Let the goodness of God lead you and guide you tonight. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise God. This is not an easy lesson to teach. In fact, a new converts course, it would be someone else beside the pastor. But this is not something that I even ashamed to teach, because I lived it and I live it even today. Probably even more so than then. But if you don't have a revelation of it, ask God to give it to you. If you are faithful, continue to be faithful. We want to see God build this church, and he's going to use us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Greet one another before you leave tonight. So thankful for the Prophet family and their family to be here. We love and appreciate them. Greet them if you haven't already. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.